businesses are investing increasing amounts of their money and resources into public and private clouds. At the last research numbers, we see Gartner talking about cloud spend going up to almost $600 billion in 2023. And Forrester say cloud spend will top $1 trillion in 2026. Now Gen AI is arriving. Businesses will need to accelerate their multi-cloud spending faster than ever. All this comes at a cost, and that cost is not insignificant. But what does that mean for businesses? Well, let's find out today. Today, I am joined by a fabulous cloud expert who will unveil the mystery of cloud computing. Axel is a leading technology expert in the car manufacturing field, and today we're going to dive into the worlds of cloud strategy, cloud cost management, enterprise agility, generative AI, and more. And for those who are listening today, you will walk away with practical actions that you can put into place that can save you millions of pounds on your IT, AI, and cloud environments. For those people who don't know you, would you mind doing an introduction, sir?
Yeah, again, thank you. So I'm Axel Rogalschus. Last name is a little bit complicated. However, it's individual specific. And if you heard this once, I think you will not forget it. I'm working at IBM since more than 25 years. And I would call myself really an expert in the automotive industry in the tech space. Yeah, so I made a lot of consultancy projects in the automotive industry with most of the the major global OEMs. With Volkswagen, BMW, General Motors, and Mercedes-Benz. So a lot of experience within the last years here. And I think cloud is really moving ahead here. And it's within the discussion of all major CIOs. It's on the top of the agenda.
Fantastic. Axel, might you give us a little bit of an overview then of what's actually happening in the world of cloud computing today?
Yeah, Kieran. So what I do see in the market here, yeah, and public clouds and public cloud first strategies are one of the most strategic decisions CIOs are currently pursuing. Yeah, on the other side, they are struggling with different challenges having this strategy deployed. Of course, there are a lot of advantages of public cloud. Yeah, and just to mention four of them, it's faster time to market, for example. It's just simple to get kickoff and get instances deployed, yeah, get new services on board, scalability and flexibility. Yeah, and you mentioned Gen AI and AI, which is really on the board level discussion right now. Yeah, if we look on the workload coming with Gen AI into the enterprises, you have to be flexible and you have to be scaled to be ready to deploy all the LLMs which you're going to pursue with the Gen AI strategy. And then, of course, you do have advantages of better collaboration with all the partners. If I look at the automotive OEMs, with the suppliers, with the dealer sites, with the wholesale organization. So it's quite easy to just deploy new apps and to make them ready to use even for your end clients. Yeah, and last but not least, if you look at cloud, you will get all the tech adoption from the hyperscaler, which are available. Yeah, it's easy to deploy. It's accelerating your innovation with the new tech. And so I do not want to discuss all the negative aspects of public cloud. Yeah, there are a lot of advantages here. However, if you look on the dark side of the cloud-first strategy, yeah, and then I think this is something CIOs really get worried about, and not only the CIOs, also the CFOs, and also the procurement organization. Yeah, so if you look at the explosive costs, unplanned costs, intransparency of costs, yeah, so if you look, for example, in the automotive industry, all the ADAS data you have available from the cars, if you load all the ADAS data into the public cloud, yeah, your costs will explode, and no one is really aware about that. Or at least it's not plannable at this point of time. Yeah? And let's think about another perspective. Yeah? So if you do not have a strategy in place, yeah, which application workload should run on which infrastructure platform, yeah, you will run into a mess. And I think these are challenges CIOs has to decide right now, starting from the strategy up to the deployment. And if I look in our estimations, what we have done within IBM Institute for Business Value, our expectation for 2025 is that public cloud-first strategies will be replaced by multi-hybrid cloud strategies. We do expect approximately 50% of the total workload of one enterprise will be SaaS or public cloud. 25% will be private cloud, especially for enterprise with an appropriate size. Yeah, and the rest, 25%, will be still on-prem. If you look, for example, on planned applications, where we really have critical data on the planned level, why is this appropriate to move this in the public cloud?
You mentioned generative AI in your response. It's a technology that's hot on the heels for CIOs of Web 3.0, the metaverse, and everything else. Now, the data and infrastructure requirements to enable a data-driven culture that also allows businesses to gain competitive advantage from AI appears substantial in terms of the cost and the resources. Does this mean that businesses and CIOs have no choice but to invest more money in the cloud just to survive in the near term future? Because that's going to impact on top of what you've just mentioned a second ago.
Kieran, definitely. Yeah. So Gen AI enables us really to do amazing things. And if we talk about Gen AI, we should not also forget everything about ML Ops and AI, which will include the workloads on top of this. And so if you really want to deploy, you really need scalability and flexible infrastructure. And the demand of IaaS and infrastructure, so demand for the whole compute stack will increase dramatically. And just to quote one Cisco survey, yeah, that found out that just 70% of the firms are AI infrastructure ready right now, and 95% of the respondents recognize that AI will increase infrastructure workloads. Yeah, so this same experience what we are doing with our clients' conversations. And I think if you have this as an assumption, if you really want to accelerate this generative AI, you really have to think about where to put which workload in your multi-hybrid cloud environment. So yes, it is really critical for business to get your cloud spend and methods good for order now. Yeah. So on the other side, it's really your cloud costs, but also the on-prem costs in the multi-hybrid cloud environment. Responsible leading business are thinking about this, of course. Yeah, it's not only a CIO discussion. It's a CFO discussion. It's a CEO discussion. Yeah, because if you look at the transformation of the automotive industry right now, cost pressure is everywhere. It's really everywhere. Yeah, and this is, of course, related to the IT infrastructure in a whole. And not just about generative AI. Yeah, and I mentioned this also, but for AI in general, ML Ops is another example. Where to put the investment dollars when it comes spending on tech to drive this business strategy? Yeah, thinking also about the whole digital transformation will increase on top of Gen AI the workload on the infrastructure in the automotive industry. Yeah, and if you look at the OEMs and the CIOs, they are thinking about their investment in multi-cloud right now and how to adopt excellent cloud financial management discipline and cultural practices, yeah, that maximize the business value at the end in hybrid multi-cloud environments, as they manage trade-offs between speed, cost, and performance. I think these three dimensions has to be aligned in a proper manner.
Well, you mentioned those, Axel. What are some of the solutions that you feel are open to businesses to maximize the benefits they get from multi-hybrid cloud? You've mentioned FinOps and AIOps. Not everybody might be familiar with those. If you wouldn't mind just explaining those, but what else can you do to put organization, financial discipline, transparency around this so you get the most benefit from your multi-hybrid cloud infrastructure?
Yeah, so multi-hybrid cloud, as said, if we accept this is the right strategy, yeah, you have to really manage the cost across the whole portfolio. Yeah, with FinOps, you mentioned, you only look for the cloud costs, yeah, creating transparency about the cloud costs. But the total, the technical business management, so-called also TBM, yeah, is really to look for the whole compute stack in your multi-hybrid cloud environment, yeah, for cloud, private cloud, public cloud, on-prem, as well as on SaaS solutions. Yeah, and if you have this transparency with the TBM approach, yeah, then I think this is a starting point, yeah, to get the right actions in place to analyze And at the end, and you mentioned also AI ops, yeah, this is somehow the execution of the actions you have identified based on the analytics. Yeah, and if you have on top of, if we talk about FinOps and TBM, yeah, I think it is most important also to get the right data to get this transparency of the costs. Yeah, you have to have the linkage to your financial management systems to get the right figures, yeah, to derive the best recommendations and action out of that. So I think this is quite important. It's not only just a job to implement one software, yeah, and then everything is going into the right direction. No, no, it's more, it's cultural change, it's a strategic decision at the beginning, and then execution at the end.
I love the joined up nature of all of that. It there's dots there that are definitely joined. You mentioned a moment ago, multi-hybrid cloud. Businesses need to adopt an holistic multi-hybrid cloud strategy as a starting point by the sounds of things. They need also, from what you're mentioning, Axel, you know, to bring financial accountability to make informed data-driven decisions. And they need to manage, I'm assuming, trade-offs between speed, cost, performance, and so on. So what options have they got to make that happen?
Again, that's a good point. And let's focus on four things business need to do in order to make informed data-driven decisions to manage the trade-offs between these three elements, speed, cost, and performance, you mentioned, because this has to be balanced right. Yeah. And if they get these steps right, then they can optimize their cost, environment, and invest decisions. An ideal scenario which business can get is a cost-efficient performance environment with unnecessary cash spend on cloud-free to invest for the future in better ways. Yeah, and let's focus on the four points I want to point out. Yeah, so first is the strategy. Really to create a multi-hybrid cloud strategy and really not a public cloud-first strategy. Business needs to adapt a holistic cloud strategy as our starting point. Yeah, they need to bring financial accountability to the cloud, to the private cloud, to the public cloud, to the SaaS solution, but also for the on-prem solutions, and make informed data-driven decisions. Yeah, if you do not have the data points and the transparency of the data points, you could not derive any decisions out of that. Yeah, then you have to define within the strategy which workload should run on which application, on which infrastructure. I think this is important. As we discussed earlier, Kieran, I think not every workload is appropriate to be deployed on public cloud, but also I must admit, not every workload is appropriate to deploy on-prem. And so you really have to look for the advantages where to deploy which workload. Yeah, this is a strategy at the end. Step two, yeah, transparency of the multi-hybrid cloud costs. Create transparency. Cost and performance, not only for public cloud, as said, yeah, but also for the holistic infrastructure, for the whole compute stack. Let's deploy technology business management, as I mentioned earlier, yeah, the TBM, to analyze, monitor the total IT spend top-down, including data from FinOps for the cloud costs, yeah, to tie to the business objective and to deliver comprehensive and accurate chargeback. And even if chargeback is not as flexible for on-prem environments than in the cloud environments, you have to find a process, a culture to really do the chargeback, otherwise you will fail at the end. Yeah, but please, please do not stop at the cloud costs. It's even easier, yeah? But the on-prem infrastructure bears a lot of optimization potential as well. Yeah, so the third step is really the cost and performance management. Yeah, protect performance of the application, optimize and spend, and simplify the operations. Let's be clear, IT, as discussed, Kieran, is under pressure. Yeah, the whole industry is under pressure with regards to cost reductions. The old break and fix model simply does not work in these modern IT environments, not when it comes to the meeting greater customer demands with fewer skilled people. Yeah, this is a cultural aspect, but also a social aspect. Yeah, in a highly digitized world. Yeah, so you do have less people with less skills because the skill requirements are increasing similar like the workloads on the infrastructure, you know. So just having the transparency of this cost is a halfway pass and no savings yet. Yeah. So if you have created the transparency, you have to analyze the data of your applications. Yeah, and then you have to adjust the demand, the capacity demand from the applications towards the offering as the infrastructure capacity. Yeah, and this has to be right-sized. The experience what we have made, especially in this case, is that a lot of potential is within the right sizing. Recently, we conducted a proof of value with one major German client in the financial industry, by the way, for their on-prem compute stack, yeah, for right sizing. Yeah, and we really get some compelling results. So just to give you some figures here, so more than 84 terabytes of virtual memory were identified as saving potential, yeah, just for right sizing. 9.2% of the host intensity potential were identified. And last but not least, more than 21% storage density potentials. Yeah, just for the x86 on-prem environment. And this was just one example with not the whole workload for on-prem. Yeah, it was just one area of the application suite. And if you expand this now to the cloud environment, to the SaaS environment, I think there are much more potentials which could be identified at this point. Well, coming now to step four, yeah, we have the strategy, just remember, we have created the transparency, we have done the analysis across the right sizing of demand and offering, yeah, and last but not least, it's a huge effort now to put all these actions in place manually. So what's the answer to do that? It's automation. Yeah, so automatic deployment and execution of the recommendations the system has done for right sizing. And if you talk about automation, there might be, and coming back to your cultural point, there might be some resistance in the organizations. Yeah. So therefore, we are talking next to automation also for assisted execution of the recommendation. I think this is important. And according to the culture which you do have within your enterprise, yeah, we could talk about more automation or less automation in a more assisted manner.
Those savings are material. And it's interesting you said that was just the on-premise, because I think sometimes people look at consultants coming in to help them and they think it's going to be an expense, whereas actually great advice saves you money at the end of the day, improves your efficiency and frees up that cash to allow you to put investment dollars into other areas that actually drive more business benefit. So really great stats. Axel, we've talked about cloud strategy, but how important is a cloud-first culture to string all this together?
Kieran, let's join the dots. Yeah, as I said earlier, yeah, it's really to balance the triangle between process, culture, and technology. Yeah, and if you talk about culture, of course, we do need not only the CIO, we do need the CEOs, the CFOs, and also procurement and many different lines of business involved, because as said, yeah, this is not only a cost savings initiative for the infrastructure, this is also right balancing for the applications. And if we talk about the applications, lines of business are directly involved. We need them to align and agree on what really drives the business value and where to invest into the multi-hybrid cloud to make this really happen. Yeah, so right sizing. Just have right sizing in your mind here. We need the active support, of course, with not the support of the CFO or even the CEO. The CIO will not drive this decision forward, as application might be on risk. Yeah. So therefore, we really need an alignment not only between people, culture, tech, and processes, but also between all of these relevant organizations. Just to give you an example, absolute cloudability to understand who is consuming cloud resources. So in our experience with the German financial industry, I made the example for the on-prem environment, but also with absolute cloudability, we could create this transparency across all the cloud applications. Yeah, and this is a traditional task of the finance department, because you need the financial figures. If you do not know what are the contracts, for example, within procurement with the hyperscaler, you're not able to really drive the right costs and to charge back the right costs and to right size the application towards costs.
What advice or insights would you share with organizations considering the adoption of multi-hybrid cloud solutions?
Well, Kieran, I think let's summarize three major points. Yeah, so first of all, I think everyone or most of the enterprises have made now the experience that cloud first is not leading into that right direction. They really have to rethink the strategy. They have to be honest to themselves, yeah, to really correct their view and to go more or less into the direction of multi-hybrid cloud. I think this is also something cultural change of former decision many people have made. Yeah, secondly, I think don't be shy. Yeah, and I really made the experience that a lot of people addressing this 4 points said, well, we have so much workload to do. We have we are fully engaged with all the operational work. Yeah, but let's stop it. Let's face it. Yeah, if you are not looking for strategic investments of people and time and resources to the appropriate things to get the transparency and the optimization done, you will never get benefits out of it. Yeah, so really you have to focus on this, you have to free up your time, and you have to work on it. And by the way, it's not a rocket science. Yeah, we are doing POCs or POVs, how we call it, proof of values, within 4 weeks. Yeah, with less than 2 days effort from the client side. Yeah, just to get the transparency which you needed here. Yeah, and thirdly, also, this comes together with the Gen AI discussion which we had, yeah, and the automation discussion which we had. Yeah, so don't stop to automate your business in the operations, yeah, to free up people's time and to bring the people's time to the right areas where you really could get the benefits out of it. Yeah, automate. Yeah, automate the recommendations, trust the systems, not blindly. That's not the way. Yeah, you have, of course, to understand why the recommendation out the systems are coming from this angle or from this perspective. However, if you just learn with the system in an assistant manner, I think you can trust it. Yeah, and the results, you will really be astonished which benefits will be come out of it.
Axel, the one thing I've learned in my life over 30 years in business technology is that you can't ignore a problem forever because it keeps coming back and back and back. And it feels hard tackling some of the meteor problems, but the meteor challenges are all solvable. And from some of the figures you've described today during this interview, they sound like a significant amount of dollars can be saved and reinvested somewhere else without, it has to be said, huge, huge commitments of time. It just involves a little bit of effort over a number of weeks, over a number of days. And I think businesses could really see material savings. And as you said as well, it's, you know, technology and people and culture. But once you join those things together and you have a new rhythm formed within your company, everybody, I feel as well, will move to multi-hybrid cloud. And again, as you mentioned as well, there's times when you do want to be on-premise, there's times you do want to be in cloud, but it'll definitely be a part of people's strategy. And the sooner that all of our colleagues with inside of our business can get aligned on that, the sooner we can move to that new world, because it isn't disappearing. And with Gen AI coming, as we mentioned as well today, if anything, there's going to be more money spent. It's probably better to get things right now with a little bit of support than kick the can down the road and hope it sorts itself out at a later date. It never does.